Morning. Today's daf in Moed Katan is daf Yedalad Ryan Yud Gimel. On the bottom of Yud Gimel Amid Alf, so we have to catch up. We're going to start with the Mishnah. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Belonel Zechnish Maslos Ben Zalsman. We start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a continuation of the do's and don'ts on Chol HaMoed. The second parak, which is in a very short parak in the Masechta, 2.5 lot. Continues with its discussion of what you can and cannot do in Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah here continues, Eim Nefanu Mibayis Abayis. You can't move things from one house to another house, Eim Nefanu Lechatzero, because you can move something to your courtyard. Eim Nevin Kelim Mibayis Aumun, Eim Choshesh Lehem Nefanu Lechatzero Acheres. Something is finished, mechanic calls you up and he says, car is done. So you can't move things on Chol HaMoed. From the Beis HaUman, from the craftsman's house. But if you're choshesh, if you're concerned, so then you can move it to another chatzer. Okay, all these, we're going to discuss a lot of these in detail. So we start with the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, we're at the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the Gemara, Amart, Reisha, Eim Nefanin Klal. So there doesn't seem to be an agreement between the beginning of the Mishnah nor to the end of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah says that you cannot move things from one house to another, and then the Mishnah talks about scenarios where you can. So the Gemara goes on to explain. So Abai says there's no disagreement. There is agreement between the beginning and the end of the Mishnah. Beginning of the Mishnah just simply says you can't move things from one house to another house. To move things from your house out to your courtyard, so that you're allowed to do. Continuing, Ein Mavin Kelmi Beis Auman. Amar Papa Badik Lan Rava. Papa says that Rava tested us out. Right? Rava wanted to make sure that we were sharp, so he asked us the following questions. Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Mavin Kelmi Beis Auman. So you're not allowed to move things from the craftsman's house. Or Minu Malichim Mavin Kelmi Beis Auman V'Afa Pishen Asur Chamoid. And then meanwhile, there's another Braisa that says that you're allowed to move things from the house of the craftsman. V'Shaninan Lei. So the response to that is Kan Ba'Asar Kamachol Shamoid. So the first answer given is, well, the difference is one Bryce is talking about Chol HaMoed. Let's say it better. The Mishnah is talking about Chol HaMoed, where there you're not allowed to move anything at all from one house to another house. Now you're not allowed to take things from the craftsman's house. And the Bryce that allows is talking about the 14th day of Nisan, what we would refer to as Erev Pesach, where we've discussed already a couple of times. There is a comparison between Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed. They're similar to one another, but their differences, their distinctions. And this being one of the distinctions, where on Chol HaMoed you can move something from the something out of the Beis HaOmen. The Gemara suggests a different answer. Another possible distinction again. Bryce number one says you can take something from the craftsman's house. Bryce number one says you can't take something from the craftsman's house, and Bryce number two says you can. So Hava Hava Chol HaShemoed. Another distinction is where both Bryce are talking about Chol HaMoed. Kam ben Ma'amino, kam b'sheinu Ma'amino. And it's a question of confidence in the Uman. If you have confidence in the Uman and you trust the Uman, so leave the item over there, you'll pick it up after Chol HaMoed. If you do not have trust in the Uman, now it's interesting, you don't have trust in him, so why did you employ him to begin with? Why did you contract with him to begin with? That's a good question. I don't think I have the answer. But you have the. But if you don't trust him, so then on Chol HaMoed, you can take the finished product and take it out of the finished product. Vehatanya, the Gemara would bring a brisa to support this as well. We learned on a brisa. Mivin kelmi by someone kagon. You could take things from the craftsman's house. For example, kadmi beisa kadar v'kos mi beisa zagag, a jug that was made by the jug maker, a glass that was made by the glass maker. Avalot semer mi beisa seva avalot kelmi beisa uman. But you can't take wool from the dyer. You can't take utensils from the craftsman. Now, if it happens to be that he doesn't have anything to eat for you, then you can pay him. And you can leave it by him. Now, what if you don't trust him? So then you take it out of the craftsman's house and you put it in a house that's next to him. Now, if you're not confident that that will secure the item, so then skip the parentheses. So then privately you can bring it back to your house. Okay. So what do you see from this brisa? This idea that Rav Papa was suggesting to Rava, that in generally speaking, you're right. You can't take something from the craftsman's house. But if it's a question of you don't trust, you don't think that the item will be secure, he called you up, it's finished, and now you want to make sure that the item is not stolen. So under those circumstances, you can go to the craftsman's house and you can take it. That sounds like exactly as Rav Papa suggested. Tarasta Mivin. So the Gemara says, fine. So that, I understand then the language of Mevin. But Molichin, but also in this Brisa, there's a discussion of bringing it to the craftsman's house. So how do you resolve that? Not in the Brisa we just quoted, but in the previous Brisa. Molichin Omevin, that you can actually bring it to the craftsman's house. So the Gemara says, how do you understand that? If we're talking about Chol HaMoed, you can't bring anything to the Yomen on Chol HaMoed. So the Taras Mevim Molichin Kasha Diktani and Mevim Chol Shekein Shem Molichin. So the Gemara says, okay, this answer, although has merit, but the Gemara says, but the first answer is really the crisper answer. That the Brisa that says that you're not allowed to take the item away from the craftsman, that's talking about Chol HaMoed. The Brisa that says that you are allowed to take away and even give it to the craftsman, that's talking about Erev Pesach. Okay, Adka. Good. Next Mishnah. Mechafenes HaKetzios Bekash. Okay, you have your cut figs, and you'd like to cover them over on Chol HaMoed. So you could take straw, a thin layer of straw, and put it on top and cover it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afmav, and Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't even have to be such a thin layer. It can even be a thick layer. Mochre peres ksus v'kelam mochrim b'tzenel etzor chamoed. If you're selling fruit and clothing and utensils, so you could sell them privately on Chol HaMoed. Hatzaidan v'ha d'shaos v'ha grusos osa b'tzena. A trapper and various other cereals, if you will. So we'll talk more about it, what these cereals actually are in the Gemara. So you can prepare them on Chol HaMoed for sale privately. Rabbi Yossi Omer Hemachmir Latzman, and Rabbi Yossi says certain businessmen were machmir upon themselves, even though they had a legitimate right to sell, but they were machmir upon themselves and they didn't sell. We'll explain that better in just a moment. We start with the Gemara. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are doing the last sugya of the second part. Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yaasi v'tavai mishmei dechizkiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, a debate amongst the Amoraim, originating from the early Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Chana mar mechapin akluche and ma'aven asmuche. Okay, the Mishnah says a thin layer, thick layer. Meaning, again, your dates are outside and they're drying, and now you want to just cover them. So how do you cover them? So the Tanakhama says only with a thin layer, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, me'avin. So what are the definitions of these terms? So according to one, mechapin is a klushe, that's a thin layer, and me'avin is a smuche. Smuche, smach means thick. Chalamar mechapin bein a klushe bein a smuche. And the other interpretation of the Mishnah is no. Mechafin means you cover it with whatever covering you want. A thin covering, a thick covering. And ma'avin, oso, kamin kri. And ma'avin means that you not only cover, but you actually can form it into a pile. Tanyina mehacha, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ma'avin, oso, kamin kri, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the Braisa says it exactly like that. That the word ma'avin just doesn't mean covering, but it also means organizing, putting it into a formed pile. Mocher peres ksus v'kel mocher mitzina. Now, there is a chumra at the end of the Mishnah where certain merchants would not. Let me say it in an obscure fashion. They would be machmer upon themselves. And now the Gemara wants to know what exactly does that mean? They're going to be machmer upon themselves. So does that mean the law of the klal? So one option is that they wouldn't sell at all. Or maybe they would sell, but they would do so privately. Tashma, the Gemara says. Well, consider the following. Gemara is about to quote a Braisa. Mocher peres ksus v'kel mocher mitzina. Letzorech ha-moed. If you're selling fruit, clothing, utensils, so you can sell them on Chol HaMoed for Chol HaMoed. Rav Yossi Amar Tigre Tveria heinach mer latzman shelo yumochen kol ikar. Merchants in Tveria, a very holy city, so the merchants over there would not sell at all. Okay, good. We could stop right here. I mean, there's more Braisa to do, but already you get what the chumra is. The chumra is that certain merchants wouldn't sell at all. Now it's interesting. It's a chumra for the merchants. What about the consumer? Meaning, right. This is a chumra that's going to affect other people, right? To be machmir for yourself, it's fine, but to be machmir at the expense of other people, that's interesting and generally speaking, not how chumras work. Okay, so I know I raised the issue. I don't have a solution to the issue, but certainly something to think about. Trappers of animals, so they could trap and they can sell, but again, privately. Rav Yossi Amar Tzidei Akko, Hei Nechmir Latzman, the city of Akko. Okay. So they were machmir, shelo yutzadne kol ikar. Okay, they wouldn't trap at all, and they wouldn't sell at all during Chol HaMoed. So again, you understand, the chomer is, they wouldn't sell at all. Deshushe chilka tirgas v'tisne, doshishim b'tzinel tzorach HaMoed. These cereal makers, you'll see what I mean when I say cereal. These cereal makers, so they would pound and they would make their cereals on Chol HaMoed for Chol HaMoed. And Rav Yossi Amar, Dishushi Tzipori, Heinechmer Latzman, Shalo Yuchdush, and Kol Ikar. And the cereal makers of Tzipori, right, the city now referred to as Hoshaya, the modern day Tzipori, so they took it upon themselves to be Machmer, not to make cereal at all. Amar Rabbi Yechilko Chadalatarte. And now we are going to describe what we mean by cereal, right? I know we have a very modern concept of what cereal is. It's first ingredient in our modern cereals is sugar, and then after that, it's basically whatever you want to put in afterwards. In the good old days, cereal was just basically pounded wheat. So, and why all these different terms? So it depends on how they were pounded. So chilka, when you see the term chilka, chadal tarti means that it was a kernel of wheat divided into two. Tirgus chadal atlas. The tirgus means it was pounded wheat, pounded three, and tisne chadal arba. And you see the term tisne, it's pounded 1 to 4. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he gives a totally different understanding. He says that it's a reference to kunta. Kunta is spelt. The Gemara is challenging based on a Mishnah in Machshirin. We all know Machshirin is not part of the Daf Yomi cycle, but we've seen enough Mishnahs where we see this time again and again. A food is only susceptible to tumah when it comes into contact with one of the seven liquids. The Mishnayos and Machshirin discuss these halachas in detail. The Mishnah over here that we quote, just a short excerpt of the Mishnah in Machshirin, Chilka, Tirgis, and Tisni, okay, those are our three pounded cereals, Temeim b'chol makom, they're tummy. Meaning the assumption is they come into contact with a liquid and they're tummy. That's the Mishnah Machshirin. Now, Bishlam Laman Damer Chadal Atativ Latasla Arba Mishum Hachni Tameim Bechom Makom. This Kasher. If we're talking about the pounded cereals like we described earlier, broken into two, three, or four different pieces, so then I understand. They, in order to pound it, so they come into contact with the liquid. In other words, they went through processing, and part of the processing is they came into contact with the liquid. I understand the Mishnah Machshirin. Laman Damer Kunta. But if you're telling me that no, the definition of these items is spelt, meaning unprocessed spelt, well, if it's unprocessed, it didn't come into contact with the liquid. So what's the Mishnah Machshirin talking about? So Amay Tamei, B'chol Makom, Halo is Kashir. Okay? So Kigon de Mekapan, so the Gemara says, well, no, the spelt was peeled. The outer shell was peeled off. Elav Deshar Lehu B'maya Lo Hava Mekapa. And in order for the spelt to be peeled, so the first thing you need to do is soak it in water, soften it, and then peel it. So in other words, no, the Mishnah and Machshirin, it could be talking about spelt, and the idea that it's machshir l'kabel tumah is because it was peeled and therefore soaked before peeled. And chilka, which means divided. How, if we're talking about whole grains of spelt, so what does that mean? Chilkayu, it means divided from its peel. Okay, meisvei. Gemara quotes a brisa. I know the menadag and asur af bitul hamitzri yavesh u mutter balach u mutter ba'oriz bechilka v'tirgas v'tisne. We quote a Mishnah in Nedarim. The Mishnah in Nedarim describes a person making a neder. He says, "That's it. I'm getting off of carbs." And in his, I'm giving a modern definition of the Mishnah. But hanodem and adagan. No more grains for me. So he can't even eat pul hamitzri, some sort of bean, the dry version of it. But he can eat a soaked version of it. And now, even though he said he's not going to have dagan, but he's allowed to eat rice and the chilka, tirgis, and tisne. Now, Bisham Laman Damar Chadal Atarte, Chadal Klas, Chadal Arba, Shapir, Danafkul, Mitaras, Dagan. So the Gemara says, look, if it's pounded, so then I understand it's no longer dagan. The word dagan, as it's normally understood, is a reference to a whole grain, meaning the whole kernel. Once pounded, it no longer is dagan, and therefore it's not bound by your neder. Remember, by nedarim, rule number one by nedarim, in terms of the understanding of a neder, we follow lashon b'nei adam, the normal parlance of people, how people generally are understood when they say a particular term. So good. So I understand that it's that chilka tirgus tisni. If we're talking about pounded wheat, it's no longer in your nether. I get it. But according to Rav Dimi, where the definition of these items is a whole grain of spelt, so dagan malyahu, that's dagan. Dagan are grains. This is a spelt is a grain. Kasha the Gemara says that's you're right. That's difficult, and that makes Rav Dimi's pshat of what these are a difficult pshat. Continuing, finishing up the perek, Rav Huna Sharlu Lahanu Krufaisa Lemezo Lizvune Kir Chaya Beshuka. Rav Huna gave out a heter, and he allowed these particular merchants to go ahead and to sell like they normally would in the marketplace. What are they selling? They're selling besamim, spices. So Rav Huna says, like you normally do. Eser Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, I'm not following. I don't understand. Chanas Pesucha L'Stav Posech V'Nel Kedarko. If your market is opened into a stav, stav is a like a private alleyway. So you right, you make a right turn on Mea Sharim, right? I'm in Eretz Yisrael now. You're going on to Kikar Shabbos. You make a right turn. So some stores are like right on the street, and some stores you have to like go into an alleyway, and then you're going to find the store. So on Cholamoi, if the Chanus is Pesucha L'Stav, if it's opened into an alleyway, Pesach V'Nol Kedarko, already has a private entrance, and so therefore in Cholamoi, when it opens up its doors, it's okay. You can open the doors all the way. But Pesucha L'Rishos HaRabim, but if the entrance to the market is right opening up to Rishos HaRabim, Pesach Achas V'Nol Achas. So it's Cholamoi, don't open up both doors, open one of the two doors. Okay. Again, it's Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to do commerce on Chol HaMoed for Chol HaMoed, but it should be done privately. And now we get a better understanding of what that means privately, meaning don't open up both doors, like literally, not figuratively. So there, Yom Tov Achron Shachag Motzi Ma'atir Shuka Ha'ir Beperes Bishol Kavod Yom Tov Achron. The exception to that would be on Erev Yom Tov Achron, when you get to the what we would call Hoshana Rabba, right, the day before Shemini Atzeres. So there, just to adorn Yerushalayim with fruit, and so every merchant should go on full display. But outside of that, everything should be done privately. So Rav Huna, who's telling the spice merchants, go ahead, sell your spice like you normally do. I don't understand. Chol HaMoed, short of Hoshana Rabba, you're not allowed to sell your merchandise like you normally do on Chol HaMoed. So Lokasha, Abipere, Abitavlan. So the Gemara says the difference is fruit versus spices. Fruit has to be sold in a modified fashion, in a private fashion, but not spices. Why is there a difference between the two? Let's take a look at the last two Rashis on the Perek. So Rashi writes, Abipere, Sheish Lachsha, Shekonot, Tzorach, Yomos, Hashanah. Because when it comes to fruit, people buy at bulk, and so therefore sell it privately so that people understand it's Chol HaMoed. You really should only be buying for Chol HaMoed. But spices, Rashi, Mocher Kedarko, there, no reservation, no inhibition, you could sell them like you normally do, could go and kruv, ukarshina makol yodim de l'sorach ha-moed hein, v'leke chashara, there, everyone understands the spices are for Chol HaMoed, there's no suspicion, de l'sorach ha-moed hein, v'leke chashara she'in ruin l'izkayim hilkach, afil b'fer ha'asim moter. Because you know what happens to spices? I know we keep them for a long time. But in the good old days, you have a spice, they don't last that long. So clearly the purchase of spicing is only done for Chol HaMoed. There's no chashad consideration. There's no chashad concern. You can sell them like the merchants can sell them like they normally do. Hajjalach mi shahapach. That is the end of the second perek. And now I'm going to breathe for just a moment. And we're going to start the third perek of the Masechta. Okay, the third perek of the Masechta, in terms of Dapim, it's going to take up half of the Masechta. We're starting now on today's daf, which is Daf Yudalid, and it continues to the end of the Masechta. It brings us all the way to Daf Chaf. Well, more than half. It takes us all the way to Daf Chaf Tes. Okay, and in this third parak, it becomes a significant parak in Shas because it deals with all the hilchos of Avelos. It is an irony, obviously, that we're going to find the halachos of Avelos in Shas. You're going to find it in Mo'ikatan. Mo'ikatan that describes and discusses the halachas of being happy on Chol HaMoed. So we get now the other side, the opposite of Avelos. Why is it here? Meaning, why are all the halachas of Avelos here? So it segues because the Gemara is going to make a comparison. We already saw this comparison earlier, where just like there's an Issur Malacha, you're not allowed to do work during Chol HaMoed, you're also not allowed to do work on during Avelos as well, during the week of Avelos. And there are other comparisons as well, which we're going to be discussing over the course of the third parak. But the bulk of this third parak, meaning today's Daf Yudalid, still deals primarily with Chol HaMoed, but after today, starting really end of today's Daf, tomorrow's Daf, it's going to be 2 weeks of discussing the halachas of Avelos. So all of them are generated from this parak. And then obviously there's a lot of halach lamaisa. I'll touch on the halach lamaisa, but as you know already, I'm not we learn Gemara just to get acclimated with the topics and the discussions, and then halach lamaisa lo aleinu that you ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Elam agalchin b'moei. These are the people that are allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. And so, in other words, the Mishnah starts off with the assumption that you're not allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Now, I say haircut. A giluach doesn't necessarily mean haircut. It means shave. Now, we all know there's a prohibition. You're not allowed to take a razor and shave with a razor. Shave your face with a razor. But the word giluach over here in our Mishnah probably is a more generic term. It's not just limited to shaving. It's shaving, it's haircut, it's basically hair care, if you will. So the Mishnah assumes we know, and the Gemara is going to come back to this assumption, that you're not allowed to get a haircut, you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, for reasons which we're going to discuss in just a moment. But what the Mishnah does is assume we know that, and now go over the exceptions. Generally, you can't get a haircut and shave on Chol HaMoed, but these people can. So who are the people that can? So ve'elam agachem amoed haba me'midinus yamun be'beis ha'shiva ve'yotzim me'beis ha'surin ve'amanudah shi'tiu lo chachamim. Okay, I ran through that quickly. Let's go over each one of these. The people who are allowed to get a shave and a haircut on Chol HaMoed are, number one, person who comes to me'midinus yamun. He just came back from a long trip. The Gemara is going to discuss in today's daf, what does that mean? He went on a cruise and he forgot his shaver and he comes back now and now he finds himself in Chol HaMoed. What justified, why was he given a special heter that he's allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Beis HaShivya, totally understandable. He was held captive. He was held captive and he didn't have an opportunity to shave. And Baruch Hashem, he was ransomed, he was redeemed. Now he finds himself on Chol HaMoed. He could shave. He can get a haircut. Hayotze mi beis ha'asurin. Is somebody who is released from prison. Okay, so he's in prison for whatever reason. He's released from prison. The release date was on Chol HaMoed, so he can shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Interesting. Look at Tosfos over here, second Tosfos, right, last Tosfos on the Amud, where he discusses the following. She'eino yoch legaleach kodem HaMoed, she'ein manichin lo legaleach. So he's in jail. Okay, now, right, what was their prison looking like? Right, something like our prisons, but unclear. So Tosfos first assumes, look, in prison he just wasn't given the chance to shave. But then Tosfos says, it's interesting, psychological insight by Tosfos. And then he says, and let's even say that they had a razor, he could shave, not a razor, he had a shaver, he could shave, he did have a chance to get a haircut in jail. Still, when he's released, he has the heter to get a haircut and shave during Chol HaMoed. Why? Eino arev la'adam legalech bebeis ha'asurim. I'll translate it literally. It's not pleasant for a person to get a haircut while in jail. In other words, Tosfos is the way he's formulating it. When you're sitting in jail, the first thing on your mind is not your looks. Meaning, it's not your first concern, and it's understandable. Meaning, it's the person is distraught. He's in prison, and so the heter that's given in our Mishnah, that once he's released, he can get a shave, he can get a haircut. Not talking about the person who is restricted from shaving and a haircut. No, he even could get one. But still, while in prison, is totally understandable why it is that he's not getting a haircut and shaving. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Yotze mi beis ha'asurim, hamanuda, someone who was excommunicated. Okay, they try it nowadays. It's not that effective. Okay, in the good old days, excommunication was a serious thing. In fact, we're going to be discussing a lot of excommunication here in the third parak. A very serious thing. The person was excommunicated. He literally was removed from society. In other words, he did something that warranted excommunication. I believe here in the third paragraph we're going to talk about it. So in this, in a state of excommunication, so he is chutz l'machane, he's outside of the camp, he's not getting a haircut. If, let's say, he's released from his prison, meaning he is allowed to come back in, right? He does the right things, so then he's also allowed to get a shave and haircut and chalamot. She'tir lo chacham. V'chem mishenishal chacham v'hutar. Also, person made a neder. That's it. I'm not getting a haircut anymore. Made such a neder. Not necessarily a nazir. We'll talk about the nazir momentarily. But in other words, he made a neder. And then, really feeling bad about the neder he just made, goes to a chacham and says, I made a neder, not to get a haircut. I would like to be released from my neder. The chacham hears the reasons why. He has to offer a reason, what's called the Pesach, and he's excused, he's released from his neder. If that occurs on Chol HaMoed, he can shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. V'hanazir v'hamatzara hayotze, right, we don't have that word, the Bach has that word, I'm sorry, ha'ole mitumaso l'tarasa. A nazir mitzara who goes from a state of being tummy to tahor, right, nazir mitzara, part of the purification process of the nazir and the mitzara is that they need to get a haircut, they need to shave. So if this occurs on Chol HaMoed, they can shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Okay, period.com. So in other words, the Mishnah gave us a list of about a half a dozen people who are allowed to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and the rest of us, no. For reasons which we haven't even discussed yet, that will be the first discussion in the Gemara. Eil mechavzen b'moed. Now we're going to be talking about laundry in Chol HaMoed. So again, the default position is you can't do laundry in Chol HaMoed. And then we speak about our exceptions, people who can do laundry in Chol HaMoed. So El Nachabs and Memor, Abba Memdil Fayam, and the list over here is going to sound extraordinarily similar. Someone who comes back from a long trip on Chol HaMoed, Bebeis HaShivya, someone who was released from captivity on Chol HaMoed, Ayosim Bebeis HaShivya, someone who was released from jail on Chol HaMoed, top of Yudal Amad Aleph, Menudeh, someone who was released from his excommunication, Shitir Lo Chachamim, Vechem Mishanish Lo Chacham V'Utar, someone who was released from his someone who was released from his neder, mit b'chos ha'yadayim, or mit b'chos ha'sapar, mit b'chos ha'sapag, and all of your shmatas. Okay? Hedy, if you don't know that word, my mother born and raised in Buenos Aires, so they all of them spoke Yiddish. They only spoke Yiddish. None of them spoke Spanish. I mean, in the street they spoke Spanish, but at home they all spoke Yiddish. So, and in Buenos Aires, all the Jews are in the Shemata industry. Mm-hmm. So that's the way my mother describes it. Take a walk down the street in Buenos Aires in Barrionza, and you'll see all the Jews are in the Shemata industry. It's basically textile. Mm-hmm. So mit b'chos ha'yadayim. So the hand towels and the towels used by the barber and the towels used by the spag, the dish towels, the hand towels. So all these towels can be laundered on Chol HaMoed. It's interesting because one of the towels described over here is a barber's towel. And again, the barber is generally not open for business on Chol HaMoed. So it's funny. You got to go back to the first half of the Mishnah. Yeah, under certain circumstances, the barber can give haircuts on Chol HaMoed. So because he's afforded that heter, he's also afforded the heter where he can wash the towels on Chol HaMoed. Anyone who is entitled / obligated to go to the mikvah. So a zavah, anida, and a yoledis, who are all going to the mikvah, and they're all going to experience tahara, so they can also do laundry as well. And the truth of the matter is, anyone going from a state of tumah tahara. So they're allowed to do laundry, but no one else is allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Okay. We will come back to the laundry discussion as well. In the meantime, however, our first discussion we had in the Mishnah, and the one which we're going to focus on in the Gemara, is getting a haircut. Getting a haircut and shaving is generally prohibited on Chol HaMoed, and the question stands, it's a simple question, why? Why are we not allowed to get a haircut and shave on Chol HaMoed? V'shar kol adam haitam astern. Kid did not. So the Gemara says we're going to learn it. We're going to go over a Mishnah that we went over not that long ago, Masechta Tanis, and the Mishnah goes as follows: Anshe Mishmar, Anshe Mamad, Asur L'Saper L'Chabbos V'Chamishi Mutar Mibnei Kavod HaShabbos. We all remember that in addition to the Kohanim and Levim doing the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash on a weekly rotation, also there were communities throughout Eretz Yisrael who were identified to be the representatives of the Jewish people, where in that particular community during that week, so they would be extra tefillah, laning every day, fasting for 4 days of the week, and this is what's referred to as the Ma'amados. In the Ma'amados, in this, so it was a very spiritual week in that city, where the fasting, the davening, the laning every day, and they can't get a haircut during that week. That's the Mishnah in Tanis, that the members of the Mishmar and the members of the Ma'amad are prohibited from getting a haircut and doing laundry, and on Thursday they're allowed to. V'chamishim mutar mibnei kavod HaShabbos. And the reason why on Thursday they're allowed to is because Shabbos is coming and we have to honor Shabbos, so therefore laundry and haircuts can and should be done on Thursday of that week. But no other part of the week are they allowed to get a haircut. And it only begs the question, why not? Meaning it's not a yontiv, it's not Chol HaMoed, it's extra davening, it's fasting. Why can't they get a haircut that week? V'amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rav Elazar Maitam Kedesh LeKansel LeMishmaratam Kishehein Menuvala. Because we are all by definition procrastinators. We're hardwired that way, and we all understand that I can get a haircut now, or I can wait till my Ma'amad. Anyway, during the Ma'amados we're not working, so how about this? You know, we all triage our time. So I won't get a haircut now, I won't shave now, I'll do so during the Ma'amados. Or the Kohen will say, I won't get a haircut now, I'll do so during my Mishmar. So the Chachamim said, you know what? We want to incentivize people to get a haircut and shave prior to the week of their Mishmar and Ma'amad. So the Chachamim said, what we're going to do is we're going to ban haircut and shaving during the Mishmar and during the Ma'amad. And that obviously will incentivize people, well, if I can't shave during that week, so I'll shave before. Okay, so it'll provide proper motivation for people to take care of their grooming before the Mishmar Ma'amad. Hachanami, and the Gemara says that's the same rationale, the same thought process that goes into Chol HaMoed. Kiddush LeKansel LeRegel K'shem Menuval. Because again, just by nature, we're creatures of procrastination, and therefore what we would normally do is, there's so much to do before Yontif, right, the Pesach, Sukkos, Shavuos is a little bit lighter, but there's no Chol HaMoed. But Pesach and Sukkot, there's so much to do. You know what? Haircut, shave, I'll do during Chol HaMoed. It's fine. The Chachamim realized that that would be our thought process and our consideration. They therefore ban shaving and getting a haircut during Chol HaMoed. And therefore, with that knowledge in mind, so we're going to tend to our grooming needs prior to Chol HaMoed. Okay, that is the explanation of the Gemara. Interesting discussion, if we can, for just a moment. Veer away from the Gemara. And so good. So that's, now that we know the rationale, so let me ask you a very simple question, a straightforward question. So what if you did shave and get a haircut before Chol HaMoed? Are you now entitled to shave and get a haircut during Chol HaMoed? Meaning, the whole reason why the Chachamim banned it is so that you attend to your grooming needs. Okay, so, and you did. Okay, I took care of my grooming needs. Okay, so again, the reason why the Chachamim banned it is because people won't take care of it. Okay, but I'm not that person. I'm a person who took care of it. So am I allowed to shave and hair, get a haircut during Chol HaMoed? So this is...
What do you mean? You already get a second haircut?
Yeah, or shaving. Shaving is a little bit easier to discuss. But okay, in other words, more grooming during Chol HaMoed. And I know why the Chachamim banned it and prohibited it, but I'm not that person. I took care of myself. So, Yeshirosim Lomar. Sorry, let me identify. Let me give you the proper context. So I'm reading in the Rush in the back of the Gemara. The Rush writes extensively on the third parak of Moed Katan. The third parak, as we just described, is long, in the Gemara itself. The Rush, as you can hear me leafing through the pages, oh my gosh, the Rush writes, 100 simanim. That's 100 paragraphs of halachic discussion on the third paragraph of Moed Katan. Okay, and the reason why he writes so extensively is because there's a lot of halacha ma'isa. In other words, it's just pages upon pages of practical halacha. Okay, I will say this. In other words, I'm pretty pretty fair to report what I haven't seen and what I haven't learned. So I'm proud to report that at one point in my life, I went through every paragraph of the Rush. I see notes over here. I'm proud to report. I'm not proud to report how much of it I remember. But I'm sure you can imagine. Anyway, so he writes over here, the Rush writes. Now, by the way, this is not actually the Rush. This is Hagos HaShri. The Hagos HaShri is a comment that's put alongside the Rush, but he writes. So now I'm giving the proper context. This is the first siman. And by the way, over the course of the third parak, sporadically, I will be quoting from the Rush as he goes over some basic ideas in terms of the third parak. Yeshu Rotham Lomar Adam Shegilech Erev Harego Mutalagelech Berego. Some would like to argue that if you tended it to your grooming needs before Chol HaMoed, so now you could shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed itself. The time in my Megalchem Mishum Shalei Kanas Menuval Vizeh Lo Nichnas. The reason why the rabbis banned it is because we don't want people to go into Chol HaMoed unkept. He took care of it, so maybe he can get a haircut and shave during Chol HaMoed. Ve'ein Nira. So the Rush of the Hagos HaShri says no. I don't think this is correct. He provides what seems to be a very solid argument in that the Mishnah gave us a list of people who can, meaning the default is you can't, and the Mishnah says, and here, let me provide you a list of people who can. Why doesn't the Mishnah add that person? Meaning, why doesn't the Mishnah also say, and the person who got a haircut and shaved before Chol HaMoed? So, take a look at the Torah, take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, you can make an argument. There is an argument to make, but the accepted halacha is no. That if you got a haircut before Chol HaMoed, that's it, and shaved before Chol HaMoed, that's it. That's your one opportunity to get a haircut and shaved prior to Chol HaMoed. Okay.
But the king that gets a haircut every day, and the Kohen Gadol gets every day.
Right. Okay. Good. It's funny. I wasn't going to discuss it, but I'll discuss it a little bit. Okay. Just give me a little bit. And I will discuss it. I'm sorry, how do you...
Somebody bothers, it's bothered by the not shaving?
Well, I mean...
Taking away from the...
Right, correct. Meaning, one of the big differences between them and us, meaning the time, the mission, our time, is that we shave every day, right? We are daily shavers. And back then, even... Again, their shaving wasn't with a razor, but whatever. However they groomed, however they hair cared, they didn't do so daily. So, right? And the king did so daily, and the... Cohen did so weekly, and Cohen Gadol did so weekly. Our practices have changed. Okay, well, I'll talk a little bit more about it in a bit. By Rabbi Zeira. Okay, we're in Yud Alamed Aleph. We're about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Zeira asks the following question. Abdullah Abed Erev Erego. Okay, let's say you lost an item in Erev Erego. So in other words, you don't fall into one of the categories of our Mishnah. You're not released from jail. You're not released from captivity. You didn't just come back from a long trip. But on Erev Yontiv, you were spending your time looking for your lost item. And right, totally understandable. Can you now, I know you don't fit into any one of the categories, but could you slot yourself into the, hey, I'm one of those people who are now entitled to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, because I was so busy on Erev Yontiv. So came into Anus Motor. Look, on one hand, the Gemara says you can make a very simple argument. Anus. Circumstances beyond his control. On the other hand, someone coming out of captivity, someone released from jail, it's evident, meaning everyone knows he was in jail. This person, how do we know that the entire Erev Yontif, he was running around his house looking for his keys? Right? How do you... Okay. I'm not saying I'm that person. I'm just simply suggesting that I can relate. Amar Abaye, Yomar Kol HaSrik, and Asur and Srik, Baitus Mutar. And the Gemara gives a line. We see this line a number of times in Shas, and that is, it's a catchphrase of the Gemara, right? All the Srikim are going to be also, but Srike Baitus Mutarim. Now, what the Gemara here is referring to is as follows. When you make your challah, you make it into shapes. And the reason why you make it into shapes is because you have a mold. I understand. They braid the challah as well, but there's a mold, and you put the challah in the mold, and the challah comes out looking like a particular shape. The family of Baitus did that for matzah, where... they made their matzah in a shape, and they were able to do that without using a mold. Okay, how did they do it? Family secret.
Okay, you guys were penalized because they refused to share the secret.
That was right. That was the other family. Right. 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 The But okay, anyway, family secret, how they did it. Anyway, the Chachamim went over to the family and said, look, you're going to make your matzah in a shape, in a particular shape. You know how to do it without using a mold. No one else knows how to do it. And what everyone else is going to end up doing is making their matzah in a mold. The problem with that is it's going to ferment. It's going to turn into chametz. So you know what? Just to make a level playing field, we're going to ban anyone from making matzah using a shape, in making their matzah into a shape. Even though you in particular know what you're doing and are not using a mold, but what are people going to say? Yomru, people are going to say, Kol asrikin asurin, asrikin baitus mutarin? Everyone else's matzah is forbidden, oh, but baitus' matzah, oh, theirs is okay. Meaning people are not going to understand that there is a basic difference between you and everyone else. You're making it without the mold, they're making it with the mold. People won't know that, and they won't understand how it is that you're exceptional. Same thing over here, says the Gemara. You were running around your house looking for your keys all Erev Yontif. And now you're sitting there at the barbershop right after Yontif on the first day of Chol HaMoed, and people are going to be like, what? I can't get a haircut and shave and he can? Well, what's... I'm saying, what's the difference? Again, the person, all the people mentioned in our Mishnah, they are notably exceptional, right? Everyone knows they just got out of jail. Okay, that's, you know, that was the talk of Yontif. The okay, I understand, but okay, it happens. They're notably exceptional, but the person running around his house looking for his keys, he's not notably exceptional. So the Gemara says, okay, but the guy who only has one garment, so he's allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. What makes him notable? And that he's allowed to do laundry? And again, I go outside, and I'm listening to the Chacham, and they're telling me I can't do laundry, and meanwhile, my neighbor's doing laundry? Like, what's going on over here? So the Gemara says he's also notably exceptional. Meaning it's not that him and I look the same. We don't look the same. Why don't we look the same? The Gemara has a great expression. His belt will show you that he's not the same. Meaning if he's only got one garment, what does that mean? It means that when he's doing laundry, he's wearing his robe. And right, to make sure that he's still, you know, modest and private, so he puts a belt around his robe. In other words, clearly, look what he's wearing right now as he's doing his laundry. It's obvious that he's doing his laundry because he has no other clothing. So here too, but as long as it's a notable exception, so then you can get a haircut. But once you're not a notable exception, even if you do have a legitimate claim, you can't get a haircut and you can't do laundry. By Rabbi Zera, Umen Sha'avdolo Aveda Erev Harego. We're going to go over the same discussion, but it's going to be slightly different. You have a craftsman who lost a lost item on Erev Rego. Mal came into Umenu Mucha Milsa. So he's a craftsman, and people understand part of the business is, you know, you lose your items. And Odilma came into Mucha Milsa Kihanach Lotek. On the other hand, he's not so notable. He's not really that distinguishable from everybody else, and so maybe he can't shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, even though all of Erev Yontif is running around looking for that lost for the lost item. So take it. The Gemara says, okay, unresolved whether or not the Uman, the craftsman who was spending all of Erev Yontif looking for a lost item, whether he's allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Mimidinas Hayam, Asisim Dolok Rabbi Yehuda D'Tanya. Our mission is not going like Rabbi Yehuda because we learned in the Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Abba, Medina Siyam Lo Yigalech, Mimnei Sheyatzer Shelo Birushos. Somebody who goes on a long journey is not and comes back right before Yontif cannot get a haircut because he had no permission to leave. Amar Rava. Now, Rava over here is going to help us understand better what's the debate between our Mishnah and the position of Rabbi Yehuda, which we just quoted in the Brisa. Lasha divrakol aser. Look, if you went on a pleasure cruise, right? Lasha usually means like to swim. If you went on a pleasure cruise, so divrakol aser. Look, you went on a trip totally at your volition, just as a leisure. You can't come back now right before Yontif and say, "Hey, I had no time." You had no, You have no business. Yeah, I mean, you have the option, but right. In other words, right. You should. That's something it's inexcusable. It's not a legitimate excuse to simply say I didn't have time before. I'm now entitled to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. It's not a good excuse. But limizonos, and if you're going out because you need to make a living, so earning a living is a mitzvah. It's totally justifiable. You just came back from a long business trip, and so therefore you are allowed to get a haircut. And Rava says, and then those two extreme scenarios, no machlokas. Dibre akol motor. Lo nechuku ela leharvacha. The area, the sweet spot where there is a debate is going to be where you went on a business trip, but Baruch Hashem, you have money. And over here, you went on a business trip in order to earn what the Gemara refers to as extra profit. In other words, you can make do, you have enough, and you want to earn more. That's where there's a debate. Mar medamalei kelashon, mar medamalei kelamizonos. Is that considered tiyul, or is that considered mizonos? Meaning, and I know it really speaks to a deeper question of the amount of emunah that a person has, and he has what he needs, but should he still, bust his tail to try to make more? And right, it's an interesting discussion in the Gemara in terms of how much money should you be working in order to earn. Rebbe strikes a compromise position. You see this time and again, where Rebbe basically says, "I see his position in this scenario. I see his position in this scenario. In this context, I see Rebbe Yehuda is right when he goes out without permission, and I see the Chacham's position when he goes out berushos. Now, my shelo berushos. Now, what exactly does that mean? So, ilam alashod va'amar divrei kolasa. Now, if we're talking about tiyul, so what do you mean? There's no debate. Everyone agrees. Tiyul? That's not no good excuse. The elam mizonos. Well, he went out to make a living. Earn a living. Well, there, again, no debate. For sure, you come back right before Yontif. You went out to earn a living. So for sure you can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Alapshita laharvacha. So he's talking about harvacha. Where? He has money, and he went on a business trip to earn extra. But then the Gemara says, but then I don't understand Rebbe's next statement. I agree with the Chachamim when he goes out Birshus. What is that talking about? My Birshus. Ilam Lamazonas, Hamar Divre HaKol Motar. Vala Laravacha, Hamar Nivre Divre Rebbe Yehuda Baha. So the Gemara says, we're without a category. Because if he went out to earn a living, a livelihood, so then everyone agrees. You could do that. You can get a haircut. If we're talking about making a little bit of extra money, didn't Rebbe say I agree with Rebbe Yehuda? So Achi Kamar. So the Gemara says we misunderstood Rebbe, and here's how we're going to understand it. Nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda li rabbanan kishiyasa shelo berushos v'mayni olashut shafilu chachamim lo nechlugu alav laravacha aval ashut modelei v'nirin divrei rabbanan li Rebbe Yehuda kishiyasa berushos v'mayni olamazonos shafilu Rebbe Yehuda lo nechlugu alayim al laravacha aval amazonos modelehu. He wasn't espousing his own opinion. He was simply saying, I know the chachamim agree with Rebbe Yehuda. If it's tiyul, you don't have. That's not a good excuse. I know Rebbe Yehuda agrees with the chachamim. If it's mizonos, if it's earning a livelihood, Amar Shmuel kana nola b'moed mutal galech b'moed. You have a baby born on Chol HaMoed, he can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. She'ein lecha beis ha'asurim godol mizeh. That's prison, right? The mother's uterus, that's considered prison. Coming out on Chol HaMoed, that's a yotze mi beis ha'asurim.
What applied to minors?
Wait, just 1 second. So, Asurim Gadol Mizeh Bemoed. In Mikara, I'm sorry. So, Bemoed in Mikara Lo. So, that's only on Chol HaMoed. Had he been born before Chol HaMoed? No. So, Meisra Pinchas, Kol Eilu Shamra Mutal Agalach Bemoed, Mutal Agalach Memeev Lo. So, the Gemara says now, the statement of Pinchas, anyone who can get a haircut on Moed also is allowed to get a haircut during Avelos. Meaning, any one of the exceptional cases discussed in the Mishnah, which allows them to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, also, if circumstances were the same for his week of Avelos, he just got out of prison, he just got out of captivity, any one of these cases would be true for an Avel as well. So, and then the Diyuk is obvious. And anyone who's prohibited during Chol HaMoed is also prohibited during Avelos. Top of your Dala Mabez. Iyamar Katan. So Isbe Plukta Nimse Avels no Agas Bakatan. Now, how can Katan fall into this discussion of Chol HaMoed and Avelos? There's no Avelos by a Katan. The Gemara says we have a Brisa. Mekaren leKatan mimnei Agmas Nefesh. The Katan will do Kriya. Right? If God forbid, a Katan loses one of his relatives, one of his seven relatives. Let's leave out two of the seven. Right? He's not going to have a child. But if the Katan loses one of his relatives, so he'll do Kriya, but for Agmas Nefesh. What does that mean, Agmas Nefesh? Because when people see the Katan doing Kriya, so they're going to be of a broken spirit. But in other words, there's no chiyuv on the katan himself to do kriya. So Amar Ravashi, Mikatani Hasur, and Dilma Yeshme Masav Yeshme Mutter. So Ravashi says, the Brisa doesn't mean that everyone else is prohibited. It means that there are those who are going to be prohibited and those who are going to be permitted. But it doesn't. We're not saying that the katan is prohibited from these actions. So basically, leave the katan out of the discussion. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to be usher for the katan. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Again, we finished the second parak of the Masechta, started the third parak, discussing those who are allowed to shave and get a haircut and do laundry on Chol HaMoed. And tomorrow we pick it up with basically the halachas of Avelos. Tomorrow we're really starting the halachas of Avelos.